Heavenly Father, how we bless your glorious name. What a privilege, Lord, to live in this age, Lord. The age that prophets and kings sought that they might live in, but wasn't given unto them. Unto us, by your mercy and the good pleasure of your own will, have you made us to live in this generation as we see the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are very thankful, Lord. Thank you for this fellowship here tonight, Lord. We know you have already inhabited our praises, for so said the scriptures. Thank you for being the means, Lord, and to give us even further blessings as we read your word. Blessed be thy name, O Father. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So, brother, thank you for inviting us down here. We want to be here all the time. All the time we can be here, but the Lord moves in different ways, and always a joyful thing to be with the brethren anywhere and any place. This place in particular, praise the Lord. Well, you know, thank God, it's a time of the consecration, like our brother said, you know. And some people will think that, oh, they are doing this too much. The Bible says in Matthew 9, I believe it is, the disciples of John, they came to the Lord. Why is it that the Pharisees and the disciples of John fast often and your disciples don't fast? The Lord said, can you make the children of the bride chamber to fast or to mourn rather while the bridegroom is with them? The day shall come, the Lord said, when the bridegroom shall be taken away, then shall they fast. Amen? Praise the Lord. Many people, Christians, are waiting for the Lord to lay a fast on them. The Lord already laid a fast on the church. Praise the Lord. Even in the Old Testament, like we are reading in the Psalms and so on, David said, one way to humility really is to crucify the flesh. Amen? Mortify the flesh. Kill it. Amen? David said, I humble my soul with fasting. Amen? Praise the Lord. And the Bible says this, if we suffer with him, we shall reign with him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. So, aren't you glad? One way or the other, you are fulfilling prophecy. The true elect, Bible says, when the bridegroom is taken away, they shall fast. And that is what is happening here. So we give God the glory. Amen? Be not be weary in well-doing. We are walking in the path of the apostles and the prophets. Amen? That is the foundation of the church. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So the church need encouragement in this very hour. Amen? Bible says, as we see the days approach, let us admonish one another. Amen? Blessed be the name of the Lord. So I will go into, by God's grace tonight, you know, just a couple of things. I will speak. So like I said, the church needs encouragement. It is a time when the carpenter and so on, we encourage the goldsmith. Amen? Because praise the Lord. And and you put the hammer here and so on. That is the hour for the church right now to encourage each other. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So, and before I move with what I want to say, I know I haven't seen some people since the passing of our brother, you know, 2 weeks ago and so on. And, you know, I just want to say a few things and so on. If you don't know the brother I'm talking about, don't worry about it. But I just want to say, you know, a few things that we can learn a lot of lessons from this that's passing by and so on. I know among the brethren and so on, things have been going on. I've had it myself in different places and so on. So maybe in the last kind of thing I want to say about it, you know, because why the time is still fresh and so on, is to encourage the people of the Lord and so on. The Lord calls for encouraging his people in this kind of time that we are living in. And I will read some things I have shared before somewhere else and so on, before I go into the main thing that the Lord wants me to speak about tonight. Or people kind of, you know, accept in the cases where the Lord specifically stated it, I put here, it will be a matter of conjecture as to why the Lord permits some saints to come home. Conjecture means that maybe speculation or maybe incomplete facts as to why the Lord does some things. Praise the Lord. Except in the cases where the Lord specifically says so, why something happened and so on. To be a speculation or conjecture and so on. But Like I said before, I want to read this one, these lines again. I bring it tonight. There is not lacking proof, really, that God, for reasons of his own, takes some of his choicest saints from the earth while they are in the very prime of life. I give a few examples here where we can draw strength and the encouragement because we serve the all-wise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. His understanding is infinite. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We see, I give like two or three examples here. John the Baptist. The Bible called him the greatest man, born of woman, of his day. This prophet, even about 700 years before, had been forecasted what he will do his ministry by the prophet Isaiah and so on. And this prophet came in the spirit of Elijah. You all know Elijah and so on. And this is what has prepared the way of the Lord, really. And yet, at the age of 30, he was cut off in all the wisdom of God and so on. We saw Stephen in the Bible. The scripture says of Stephen, full of faith. You won't know. It's a speculation to think of why God allowed something to happen. It'd be pure speculation, you know. And here is Stephen in the book of Acts. Here is how the Bible describes him. Full of faith. Remember in Acts 6, you know, when there was murmuring among the Grecian, you know, Christian and so on, as to maybe their widows not taken care of and so on, as you know. And, you know, this is getting in the way of the apostles and so on. You know, and the apostles, the 12 called them. You know what? I know. Appoint 7 men. Look at the qualification. Full of the Holy Ghost. Amen? When you are touching the things of God, you have to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And wisdom too. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And Stephen was one of them. And here is further qualification for Stephen and so on. Full of faith. And this Acts 6:8. And power. Did great wonders and miracles among the people. Yet, Stephen became the first martyr of the church. Praise God. In the manifold wisdom of God. To speculate, just not wise and so on. Matter of conjecture, you know. Let's keep one or two of the apostles in the early church. And James, the son of Zebedee, we all know he has a brother called John, you know, and they love the Lord. They really actually belong to the innermost circle of the Lord's fellowship. Amen? Praise the Lord. The chain of God is a wheel within a wheel, and so on. There is the 12, and there among the 12, there is the 3. If among the 3, there is one, the one that lay his head upon the chest and so on. I have to move on quickly. I got a lot of things to cover here tonight. Anyway, by the grace of God, I have to move fast. And even the Lord is in the custom of surnaming those disciples and so on, like Simon, Peter, all of those things and so on. And this is the one of them, James and John, the Lord called them Boanerges, the sons of thunder. Amen? Praise the Lord. Look at how great, you know, and so on. I will talk more about him down the road and have the time and so on. Nevertheless, you know that what happened to him and so on. And they don't know all things and so on. And hear what the Bible says about him and so on in, I believe it's in Acts 12:8. And Herod killed James. Yes, the son of thunder. You know, the brother of John with his sword. The Bible says here and so on. Now, we can keep on going and going, but we see something. Even the Lord himself, you know, at the age of 33, was cut off. But the Lord's case is a special case. Amen? And I want to tell you the special case about the Lord and so on. First of all, he has finished his earthly ministry. From this thing, we can see some reasons why the Lord takes some of his people, you know. I'm not speaking in particular about the brother who passed on and so on, but just generally as a strength and comfort to God's people. So the Lord himself, at the age of 33 years and so on, was cut off. Two things about the Lord. First of all, he has finished his early ministry. For he said, it is finished. Amen? Praise the Lord. So some men of God can be taken because their ministry is finished. I'm talking in general now. Praise the Lord. Now, so then, like the Lord himself, God may see that a man's special ministry has reached its fruition, and it is time to take him home. Again, mind you, not talking about the brother, I'm just talking in general now, as we close this era and, you know, strengthen God's people and so on. Now, secondly, the Lord's case is a special case. For additionally, it was to fulfill prophecy. Amen? Praise God. So the Lord going is to fulfill prophecy. And, you know, the Bible says, this Bible, the Old Testament, is the New Testament concealed. Amen? And the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Praise the Lord. All this Bible is all about the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? The fall of man, and then the redemption of man. I always like these two scriptures I want to quote here about the Bible and so on. The Bible says, even the Lord himself, on the first Easter day, I like this Luke 24 so much, I can't just get away from it. You know, talking about prophecy and the Lord Jesus Christ, everything about him was according to scriptures. He told them, see the scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life. They are they that testify of me. Amen? Want to see Jesus? See the scriptures. Praise the Lord. Anyway, instead of speaking, in Luke 24 and so on, I won't tell you all the story and so on, two disciples, the first Easter Sunday and so on, Cleopas and his friend and so on, they don't name his friend, yeah? Talking about, you know, the Lord and so on, what he went through and so on, the Lord, how he encountered them and said, you know, what conversation are you having among yourself like this? Oh, are you a stranger in Jerusalem? You know what has happened and everything? Well, the Lord said, what has happened? You know, he disguised himself. He is the Almighty, amen? He can be here, even like angels. They appear, and many have entertained angels on our way, as amen? The Lord disguised himself and so on. Anyway, you know the story and so on, but what I'll say is this. Here's what the Lord said to them, after rebuking them. Oh, fools, slow of heart, to believe all that the prophet said. And they say, ought not Christ to have, you know, suffered these things, and then to die and raise from the dead, and to enter into his glory? One verse in particular, 27. And beginning at Moses, this Bible is all about him, amen? And beginning at Moses, Genesis, and all the Torah, and so on, and all the prophets, he expanded unto them in all the scriptures, the things pertaining unto himself. Praise the Lord. All the prophets, one way or the other, directly or indirectly, they are speaking about Christ. I like Acts 10, another favorite verse of mine about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in the house of Cornelius, the first Gentile and so on to be saved and so on, that, you know, we can't go into all of it and so forth. You know, after Brother Peter began to preach to them about Christ, you know, he ended with this verse. I love it so much. In verse 43, to him give all the prophets witness. Amen? Praise the Lord. To him, Jesus the Lord, all the prophets give witness and so on. That through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. I always like what follow. The Holy Ghost came to glorify Christ. Amen? As soon as Brother Peter spoke these words, the Bible said the Holy Ghost fell upon all them that had the word. Amen? Yes, sir. When he comes, shall bear witness of me, shall glorify me. Praise the Lord. So we see why the reason why the Lord no cut off and so on. One more thing about the speciality of the Lord being cut off at that early age. You know, just talking now. Why? It was foretold by prophecy. Amen? Daniel, the Apocalypse and so on, the Old Testament Apocalypse and so on, spoke about the Messiah coming and so on. Actually, it was the Hebrew, the angelic messenger to the Hebrews. That's Gabriel. He was the angelic messenger to the Hebrews. Why do we say that? Well, in all the appearances, it's always to the Jews. In the book of Daniel, here, Daniel 8, the Lord said, command him, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. Amen? What vision? Vision of the end time. And again, Daniel 9, which pertains to what I want to say here about the prophecy of the coming. The Bible pinpointed when he will come, how he will come, when he will go, how he will go. Amen? So, is the God of the prophets. So in Daniel 9, here comes Gabriel again, the Hebrew, angelic messenger. And the Bible says in 24, talking of the Messiah, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, meaning the Jews, you know. And 25 says, know therefore, I understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince. Wow, how beautiful, how sweet. Messiah the Prince. In the book of Revelation, is the Prince of all the kings of the earth. Amen? Praise the Lord. Church exalting Jesus. Amen? Praise God. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. The Prince of all the kings of the earth. Even the Old Testament carried it out. So the time of Cyrus and so forth, the declaration and so on, unto the Messiah, the Prince, you know, shall be 7 weeks, 3 score and 2 weeks. And the 26th verse says, and after 3 score and 2 weeks, which is the 69th week, if you count the 7, shall the Messiah be cut off. So he has a special case. It was prophesied. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Right there and there, had the law, no, was cut off and so on, the creator of all the universe became the divider of time of human history. Amen? I say it again. He became a divider of the time of human history. You have the BC before Christ, AD, after the year of our Lord. Amen? Praise the Lord. He divided history right there. I want to move on now. So, more, a little bit of example, and I want to go deep and so on to what I want to relay, they want me to talk about and so on. Now, one thing that seems to be clear, I want to read it. God takes some of his outstanding leaders out of the way so that others whom he has specially anointed will be emboldened to step out in faith. That's one thing we can think the Lord does, this kind of thing. Again, I'm talking general now, not particular to the case I mentioned before and so on. So the Lord, because he wants to have a special anointing and so on, he wants other people to step out in faith. I give my 2 examples and so on, Moses and Joshua. You know, Moses wanted really to take the children of Israel to the promised land. It turns out, in God's, you can say because he did some mistake or sin or something like that, but the Lord foreknew has reserved the taking of children of Israel to the promised land to somebody else, you know, who turned out to be, talking of humility now, this man was the minister of Moses. Amen? Praise the Lord. He was the minister of Moses and so on. Yet! And God sees his faithfulness and so on, and has reserved that opportunity to take the children across the Jordan to the promised land. So was Joshua chosen and so on, and Moses went on and so forth to glory and so on. One more quickly. Elijah and Elisha, talking of humility and so on. You know, a great prophet. Never since the days of Moses was there any great prophet in Israel like the time of Elijah. You know his ministry and so forth. Yet, he has a minister also. Can you see? But God has a special purpose. He had to take him out of the way and so on for one reason or the other. And I like the description of the successor. Call Elisha. You know how God called him? How he led the oxen and so and followed the Lord and so on and believed the Lord. And when Elijah was going, what will you want me to do for you? You know, this man so loved the Lord and so on. And he said, that I may have a double portion of thy spirit. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yeah, Elijah going off and so on, this man, you know. So you know what he wanted? A double portion of thy spirit, you know. So, and you know, he loved the Lord and so on. And you know how the Lord granted them and so on. And, you know, he did double the number of miracles that Elijah did. Amen? Praise the Lord. So when God's great men are passing through the faith and so on, the saints on earth are not supposed to be discouraged. Amen? God will fulfill all of his promises to his people. Praise the Lord. You know, one thing about Elijah, I see that, you know, it's not Elijah and so on. He knew that Elijah loved the Lord. He wasn't looking to Elijah per se. He was looking to the God of Elijah. Amen? At the Jordan. When he got to the Jordan, he wasn't looking for Elijah. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Amen? Hallelujah. Perhaps Elisha at the Mount Carmel, he has heard the prayer of Elijah when he was to call upon the God, the only God that can answer by fire. Amen. Praise the Lord. Concluding his prayer to show you it's not Elijah, but God in Elijah. Amen. After praying, making the altar and so on, he said, Lord, that they may know that I have done these things at thy word. Amen. Isn't that sweet? To listen to the Lord and to do things in his way, then you can stand before the path of darkness. Amen. Without being moved. Praise God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So we see, and at Jordan, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And of course, you know, so you know what happened? God is a miracle and so on. Now, finishing this part of the thing and so on. So now, I put the statement here to encourage every saint. You might have known the event I'm talking about. And I put this one here, and I read one scripture, then I move on to the main event. The death, listen to this one. The death or trial of some great saint has often had the peculiar result of standing up those who have been left behind. I can just give one scripture, and then we move on and so forth. And it should motivate us, like we begin this service tonight, time to pray for each other. Amen? Pray for the saints. Ephesians 6, through the saints. This thing I want just written for, just to be kept there. Making prayer and supplication for what? For all saints. Amen? Even when you see a brother going wrong, you are wrong when you know and you don't pray for him or her. Amen? You are at fault too. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Pray ye one for another that ye may be healed. Praise the Lord. So we see that, I won't go through all of this. We see examples of how the saints have stirred up and so on. Talking about James again and so on, you know how, even because of his faith, while the Lord was here and his brother, they loved the Lord, they were the inner circle, while the Lord was still here, they have their eyes fixed on the kingdom of God. They have their eyes fixed when the Lord will come back and go back into glory again and be crowned King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And they say, Lord, even their mother intervened. One way, one place, the Bible said it's his day. The Bible said their mother and so on. Do this for us. Say what? That in your kingdom. They had their eyes fixed upon the kingdom. Amen? Praise God. That's where your heart is, or where your treasure is, there will your heart be. Amen? Those sons of thunder have their treasure in heaven. Amen? So they were asking the Lord that in your kingdom, one of them is at your right hand, the other at your left hand. Know the reply. I won't go to that one. So even you draw the envy, you know, of the disciples and so forth, you know. And you can see now how highly they live at this brethren. Why should we pray for them? Why you see men of God, be careful. The apostle Paul even said, pray for us. Amen? Amen. Just telling us to pray one for another. Can see where this is going now. Not so much of the event that happened, but just to wake us up as we are in a prayer meeting right now, praying one for another. Even for the ministers, pray for them. So I put a note here. Before, how they see about James was a son of thunder and so on, not in any prayer and so on. But see what happened? You know, error killed him and so on. The Lord permitted this and so on. We don't know why. So, but you know, he went. And also, Peter himself, that wake up the church. You know, Peter would have gone to have the same faith too. And Peter, they used to see Peter as the man they can call upon in the time of trouble, you know, in the business world. They call some people the go-to person. I've heard that phrase before, the go-to person. When you have trouble in the office and so on, you go to them. So these two are like Peter, like go-to person. When he passed, even they will lay the dead in the street or the sick, that even the shadow, Peter will pass through there and we heal them and so on. Or Tabitha or somebody died and so on as Joppa or leader, that's how they see Peter. They didn't see the reasons for pray for him until that event happened to James. Now they now call a prayer meeting. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We ought to pray one for another. It is the hour. As we near the coming of the Lord, the Bible says the crisis of the age will deepen. Amen. Not to be afraid, but time to be strong in the Lord and the power of his mind. Praise the Lord. Before I move forward now, even Paul the Apostle, how, you know, in Philippians, the fourth chapter, when he was in prison, he wrote most of these letters in the prison and so on. You know, and what happened? Even the believer became more stronger in their faith. Philippians 1, I want to read from verse 12. But I will, you should understand that, brethren, that the things which happen unto me have fallen out, rather, unto the furtherance of the gospel. So that my bonds, he was in chains while he wrote all these letters. Why? Well, we know why. God foretold them before, amen. See, my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places, you know, at his calling. You know, Papa and Ananias and so on, when the Lord told him to go and talk to him and so on. Oh, Lord, don't you know this man? What evil has done to your saints and so on, in Jerusalem and so on? The Lord just go your way, you know, go tell him, you know, what he will suffer for my name's sake. He will take my name before the Gentiles, amen? And before kings, and even the Jews themselves. He preached to the Gentiles, he was apostle to the Gentiles, amen? Praise the Lord. Just talking scripture, praise God. You know, and so talking in palaces and so on. At one time, he told Agrippa, oh, King Agrippa, you know, I don't count it incredible that God should raise the dead. Oh, Agrippa, believed thou the prophets in the king's palaces, amen? Just as the prophet said, and he suffered so long, you know, so much and so on. But the point is this, before I go on, the next verse, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confidently by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. They didn't say, but Paul is in prison now. Then we go and just hide ourselves. No. They were stronger in the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. That is what God wants for this hour. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, after having said all these things, let's bring the truth. Let's call death what the Bible calls it, its name. Death is an enemy. Amen. Bible says so. 1 Corinthians 15, 26 verse. And look at the end of death. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Now, Revelation 1. Begin to see the end of death itself. Revelation 1. Bible says, I am, verse 18, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. And Bible put amen there. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. Amen. Hallelujah. And Hebrews, second chapter. To see that the Christian not need fear anybody or any death or anything like that. You know, it's an enemy. Take him like that. Don't cut him. Take him. Fight him. Resist him by the word of the Lord. Hebrews 2, 14th verse. You know this scripture, but I want to read it. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had, he used to have past tense, that had, he didn't have it anymore, amen, that had the power of death, that is the devil, past tense, he used to have it, but no more, see, the next verse says, and deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. But fear is bondage. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. God has not given the spirit of bondage to fear again, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Let me read the most clear to you in John 17. The permissive will of God and the perfect will of God. In John 17, the Lord makes this prayer. You can claim it for yourself. For us, verse 15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. First Corinthians 15, to finish this section, I want to go somewhere else. Verse 15 says, 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Now, also we are told in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, see exhorting and so on, the 28th verse, when you are saved, you are battle the world, and you are clinging to Christ. One thing, I just love this one. One thing to do more, wait for his son. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. wait for his son from heaven, whom he has raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Amen? When you are in Christ, you don't feel no tribulation. Christ has been judged one time, and we are the body of Christ. He won't be judged a second time. Amen? Praise the Lord. You have a part to play, though. Luke 21:36. Watch ye therefore and pray always. Amen? That ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things. There is an escape. Amen? And it's only in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's why we are here. Watching and praying. Have the fasting to your prayer and so on. See? Even before that 36th verse, if I remember 34th verse, take heed. Let your heart be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness. And that day shall come upon you unawares. Amen. As a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell upon the face of the earth. When you are here, rejoice. Amen. And this kind of consecration and so on. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. One more scripture just exhort us in this land and so on. 1 Peter 1. Wherever in this age, we need these things. No matter what is happening, things will happen. Bible says a beginning of sorrows, a time of trouble, as has never been since the beginning of the world. But for the saints, 1 Peter 1, whatever happened, wherefore, 13 verse of 1 Peter, wherefore, guard up the loins of your mind, amen? Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen? Praise the Lord. That is your position. That's my position. Waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. One more thing in Joshua. You know, just three. I'm going to read all the verses. Joshua 1, verse 6. This is the admonition to the church. In the hour like this and in the days to come and so forth. Be strong and of good courage. Amen? Verse 7 says, only be thou strong and very courageous. We need that in this hour. Verse 9 says, the Lord saying, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. You know, no matter what you want to do, the fourth thing the devil will do is to put fear in your heart. So the Bible says he hasn't given you the spirit of bondage to fear again. Amen? Praise the Lord. So now, I want to go to this quickly, if I can cover everything here and so on. Now, finally, admonition. The coming of the Lord dreadeth nigh. James 5, verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and later rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts. Don't be wishy-washy in the way you serve the Lord and so on. Establish your heart. Be bold in the Lord. The righteous shall be as bold as a lion. See? For the coming of the Lord dreadeth nigh. That should be our song. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, talking about the coming of the Lord dreadeth nigh, the Lord led me to, at the end of the last year, towards the new year, led me to go into the, what I call the prophetic archives. Bible says, God has sent so many servants of the Lord to us in these last days, prophets and so forth, that spoke the word of the Lord. I feel liberty tonight to quote freely. I've been quoting a lot of things from this vision. It was a prophetic vision. Some of you will know the man I'm talking about, the man of God I'm talking about. Some of you may not know it. The essence is this, what was said, because it is in line with the scripture. The coming of the Lord dreadeth nigh. Amen? This vision was given in 1933 to a man of God. It seems God to be with the Lord and so on. Some of you know him, some of you don't. But the thing is this, not his name and so on, but what the Lord gave him, whatever the Lord gave through a man of God belonged to the church. Amen? Praise the Lord. He belonged to the church. Whether it was Rasul and so, if he came from the Holy Ghost, he belonged to the church. So we feel liberty to quote freely. So he had seven, let me read, I'm going to quote him verbally. No, what he said. And he said this. So be patient. And the theme is this. That last which I read in James the coming of the Lord dread nigh. That's what draw my attention to that particular, these visions and so on, which some of us already know. But in the book of Peter, though you know these things, if you already know it, we can still admonish ourselves and remind ourselves. Amen. Praise the Lord. And if you don't know it, you have a chance now. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Again, remember, the theme is this. The coming of the Lord, dread nigh. Now, here is the man of God. What he said 83 years ago, 1933, I'm going to quote him particularly. He said, seven major continuous visions that came to me one Sunday morning in June 1933. I'll be reading a lot of stuff here. I'll be quick and so on. I believe there is a blessing in this one, looking at the time we are living in and so on. Now, hear what he said. The Lord Jesus spoke to me and said that the coming of the Lord was drawing nigh. That would draw my attention. Book of James and so on. But watch. But that before he came, seven major events would transpire. That was what he wrote. And I'm going to read the visions quickly. Then I will pick about the last two or three, about the last two and so on, and relate it to our days. I won't explain anything. I didn't get a vision. Just give it to the church. But let the hearer discern for himself in prayer. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let the hearer discern, you know, in prayer for himself what these things mean and so on. When we relate this thing to some of the visions, to the events of this day, then let the hearer discern for himself in prayer what the Lord is saying. Now, the fourth vision. I will take time to just read it patiently and so on. Now, what that he said. Mussolini will invade Ethiopia, and that nation will fall at his steps. That vision surely, I'm just quoting him now, that vision surely did cause some repercussions, and some were very angry when I said it and would not believe it. Hey, slow of heart, oh fool, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have said. Nevertheless, but it happened anyway, he said. He just walked in there with his modern arms and weapons and so on, and took over Ethiopia, he said. If you know history, I've read it myself. I read the whole thing about that event. I read all of it, you know, but I'm not going to read the details. The natives didn't even have any chance at all, you know. But the vision also said that Mussolini will come to a horrible end with his own people turning on him. It's a matter of history. And he says that came to pass just exactly as it was said. That's past history. We're going to move on. He said, the next vision foretold that an Austrian by the name of Adolf Hitler will rise up as a dictator over Germany, and that he will draw the world into war. You know the history and so on. What caused World War I? Stalin. No, and I believe it is, you know, Adolf Hitler and so on. You know. Anyway, it showed the individual, it showed the Sikh flight line. What's that? And how our troops, meaning the U.S. troops, will have a terrible time to overcome it. And it showed that Hitler will come to a mysterious end. By the way, the secret line, the Sikh flight line, is a line of barrier of defense that Germany built beginning from World War I through France, down to, then in World War II, they continue down to Netherlands, and so on, that you know. They put tanks and armors to prevent the Allied army from crossing over. That was what he's talking about in the vision. Just a minor thing here. That's it. So, you know what happened to Hitler? Came to a mysterious end. You all know history and so forth. But the thing, remember what we are talking about? The call, the vision was given to him because the Lord told him that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. That is the importance here. Now, the third vision was in the realm of war politics. For it showed me that there will be three great isms: fascism, Nazism, communism. But that the first two will be swallowed up into the third. Hear this one. The voice admonished, watch Russia. Watch Russia. Keep your eye on the king of the north, for which we have much to say, if I have time, in a few minutes more. Praise the Lord. Back in 1933 and so forth, you know, whatever God has given to the prophets belonged to the church. Now, fourth vision. Show the great advances in science that will come after the Second World War. These are the events the Lord said will come to pass just before he comes. He says, and these are the events according to the vision. You know, just quoting what the man of God said. Now, it was headed up, this advance in science was headed up in the vision of a plastic bubble top car that was running down the beautiful highways under remote control, so that people appeared seated in this car without a steering wheel, and they were playing some sort of game to amuse themselves. 1933. We come to it, you know. Praise the Lord. Now, I put this one here myself. This is my own song. I put it, the Lord led me to it. By the way, even the sign of the automobile itself is a sign of the end of the age. Amen? And I will read from the book of, let me read here and so on. Let me read from here. I think I put that one here. So the automobile itself is a sign of the end of the age. Maybe I think I have it somewhere there down the road. Anyway, the fifth vision, we come to that, had to do with the moral problem of our age, centering mostly around women. God showed me, he said, that women began to be out of their place with the granting of the vote. Until 1960 or so, people can't vote. Women can't really vote, if I know that the history very well and so on. Nevertheless, then they cut off their hair, which signified that they were no longer under the authority of a man. Remember now, I'm just quoting what the vision said. But instead, on either equal rights, or in most cases, more than equal rights. She adorned men's clothing and went into a state of undress. Until the last picture I saw was a woman, naked, except for a little fig leaf, like type of apron. Then he said this, with the vision, I saw the terrible perversion and moral plight of the whole world. Like I said, I'm not even commenting so much, you know, on this kind of thing, but towards the last two visions and so on. Now, then in the sixth vision, he said, there arose up in America a most beautiful but cruel woman. She held the people in her complete power. I believe. Now, I have to listen very well because he put it in two ways. So we just, again, we're not going to lean one way or the other. We just leave it as the Holy Ghost gave it to him. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let the reader or hearer discern in prayer. Now, I believe that this was the rise of the Roman Catholic Church. Though, he said, I knew it could possibly be a vision of some woman rising in great power in America, due to a popular vote by women. Now, and he said this, the last and seventh vision, he said, was wherein I had the most terrible explosion. As I turned to look, I saw nothing but debris, craters, and smoke all over the land of America. Now, I want to read some quotes he said. That's in 1993, right? Then I just went to look at certain things he said in subsequent years following. In 1958, for example, I want to quote what he said here about the same vision. All those things, those visions has hit. No, don't mind his English, it's just that's where the Lord in just talk. Just two things are left, he said. That's 1958. And one of those great prophecies, that is, for cars to be on the road with remote control, looking like an egg. You know, only you don't drive it, it controls itself. Praise the Lord. Just reading. Now, and then, he said, there will be a great woman. This is 1958 now. A great woman, rise up. Cause America, he said, is a woman's nation. And watch this one. And it will. You know, a great woman will rise up and be president. I'm just reading it. I'm not making anything. Read what he said. A great woman will rise up and be president. Or something like that, he said, you know, in the nation. 1953, he said this once. sit on these visions and so on. He said this one. And also, I said that cars will keep getting more like an egg until the last days. They will be just in this way, shape of an egg. Then what interests me most is this, out of this thing, what he said, and so on. And I said, it will come to pass that those car will not be run by steering wheel. It will be something another wrong. It is them cars. It's them cars they are bringing out now. Remote control for safety. You can't hit another car because it's remote control. Then hear what he said. And that's the way they will be just before the rapture. Praise the Lord. Just reading. If you know the news and the day we are living in, you can relate probably, you know. But maybe we can throw a little bit of light, maybe for a few more minutes as I run this up and now. Now, back in 1960 again, referring to the same thing. I will cut the short now. Now, referring to the same vision and so on, I like this statement. If Christ came the first time, he will come the second time. Amen? Praise the Lord. If I go away, John 14, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Amen? Praise the Lord. He wants us to be where he is. Amen? I love that. Praise God. So now he said that. And all the things that he said will come to pass. Then he said this. Now, very simple statement here. And duly seeing this, and knowing that we are making this nation, our number is just about to be called as a nation, talking this nation and so on. Knowing that the church is about to take its rapture, it moves the heart of the minister or any of the laity to know that we are in this day and time that we are living in. Now, watch what he said about this time. That this time, it is the greatest time that any person ever lived on the earth is right now. Meaning the church of the living God. Amen? I believe that with all my heart. Amen? Praise the Lord. Blessed are your eyes. The Bible says that I've seen these things. And your ears that have heard these things. Amen? The Bible says kings and prophets, even through the Lord spoke and so on, the way they live in this time wasn't given to them. So you see that one. Now, then he said this one. So then back in 1960, he said this one about the same thing. Now, a powerful woman, perhaps a politician, or the Roman Catholic will rule the United States before the end of time. Say, thus said the Lord. And remember, thus said the Lord, there will be a woman rise before the end of time. She will either be president, vice president, or it will be the Catholic Church as a woman. That was said and so on. Let's move on. Now, we have had those things. I want to finish up by relating about two of them or three of them to the day we are living, just to bring the news to see and decide for yourself if this is the day of the fulfillment of that vision. No comment whatsoever. Now, remember the third vision, he said, watch Russia. Watch Russia. Keep your eye on the king of the north. We all know out of nowhere. We thought the Cold War was over. Gorbachev, break down this wall. Thought it was over, the Cold War. Not according to Bible prophecy. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we know what is happening with Russia. You know, and so on. You know, we can't go into all of what's happening in India, but watch it now. Now, briefly, put in biblical sense now what he was saying. Daniel 2, the golden image and so on, that you know, the last Gentile empire, the Roman Empire, was the two legs of that image, the leg of iron, and then go down to the toes, iron and clay. Without, because we don't have time, all biblical or prophetic students know that the iron and the clay represent, you know, the clay is communism and so on. And the iron, the fascism, and so on. You know, so we all know that, and so on. And so we are saying, what is the position of Russia in this last day? So, from the image, so the iron and the clay. So, at the end of time, the Gentile kingdom, Rome, is the last Gentile kingdom, and so on. From Babylon to the Grecian Empire
know, the Grecian Empire and so on, down to Rome and so on, the last one, the longest one, anyway. Now, so what's Russia's position at the end of time? What he was saying is in line with the scripture. We just pick up a couple of them before we go. Communism is Russia. We know that. The clay of the image is part of the ten toes. At one time in the past, now, you see, look at the time we are living in now. Relate to the Bible version, I mean, the scripture in Daniel and so on. Ten toes of clay and of iron. So the clay is communism, which means Russia and so on. At one time, Russia was a ten-toed empire. After it seized, it's always grabbing the lands, right? After it seized Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia, and then East Germany, then Poland, Hungary, Bulgaria, Romania, Czechoslovakia, and so on, and Russia. These nations go back and forth in their number. We don't know how they all end up, which ten end up in that thing, but we can really see the roughly how it has been forming and so on. And of course, the winter Europe and so on is the iron. Without taking much time, these ten nations and so on of the western area and so on are under the umbrella of the NATO. NATO was formed as a deterrent to the Russia move. You know that beer. The Bible didn't know that beer, that wicked and so on, want to take over the world and so on. So NATO was formed as a deterrent to them, not knowing that they are even fulfilling prophecy in so doing and so forth. So these ten toes of iron and so on, they are unified in NATO Defense Pact, which is, in no doubt, the forerunners of the Western Confederacy, which will form under the beast power. I'm going to put it in the perspective quickly. The ten kingdoms are not named by the scripture, we know that. But looking at the map of Europe, a list can be made which will approximate the correct order. Germany, Italy, France, Belgium, Denmark, Ireland, Luxembourg, Netherlands, meaning Holland, and the UK, Spain, Greece, Turkey, and Austria. These things were just formed from the days of Daniel, the end time, the law, he called the end from the beginning. Amen? Praise the Lord. He foretold the issue of the world prophetically. The Bible, you want to know about the issue of the world, what will happen to it? Go to the author and the creator of the world. Amen? Praise the Lord. That is the word of God. Praise see the Lord. Amen? So, now, let me finish it. Now, how does Russia relate to the Antichrist and to the beast system? Succinctly put, this is it. I can't read all of this because there's so much. I want to round up this one now. Now, here is the thing. So, the iron, we have no Russia, iron, the Western power and so on, the iron and the clay and so on. Now, what happened is that, the Antichrist, because of his evil ingenuity, motivated by Satan, will one time unite those clay and the iron together because of the wisdom, evil wisdom from Satan and so on. It will temporarily unite them. But history has told us, like we said before, that Stalin, Russia, clay, and Hitler, the West, iron, they agreed together. See what they wanted? They want to divide the whole of Europe among themselves. That's what they wanted to do. Overnight, Hitler betrayed and invaded Russia. It's portraying the end time when the iron and the clay will not gather together. So what will happen? These evil beasts and so forth, we maneuver, and by his wicked, and so on, darkness and so on, we unite them together temporarily, but they will iron and clay can stay together. They will break at the end. Praise the Lord. That's why you see Russia making a move now. So watch him and so on. So the thing we know is this: the beast system will not take absolute control of the world. We know that the Bible says so, and there will be a time. There will be a disunity come. God will cause it, a disunity between the Antichrist, the clay and the iron and so on, when they will break. What happened at that time? The king of the north, which is Russia, will break away and come against the Antichrist himself like a one wind, causing a shift in the balance of world power. Just making a note here. Now, that is just a summary where a Bible verse, Daniel 11:40, And at the time of the end, we are at the time of the end, shall the king of the south push at him, at the Antichrist. And the king of the north shall come against him. This is Daniel 11:40. Like a whirlwind, with chariots and with horsemen and with many ships. And he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. And the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, he says, with chariots and with horsemen and with many shadows with him and so on. Now, what will happen? From what you know, suddenly comes the word of the rift between the Antichrist and Russia and so on. So Russia will break. Now, watch. Now, but Russia will not strike at the Antichrist directly. It's coming down to Palestine. That's what he wants. No? Yeah, it's coming down to Palestine. You can see the role he is playing now. Let me just say briefly now. Now, in 1930, even history portraying prophecy, in 1930, Russia put out a stamp, a 14 kopeck stamp. A kopeck is the 100th of a ruble. Take a ruble for a dollar. Then the kopeck is the dime. So they put out a stamp with that. And they show horsemen from Russia racing down to Palestine for training this scripture that the Bible is put in the book of Ezekiel and so on. Anyway, so they will come. Today, what is he doing there? He said he come to defend ISIS, to come and prevent ISIS, right? Not really so. Not really so. So he's putting his foothold in the Middle East. What he's doing now? He's testing his new weapons of war, preparing for this event that we speak about. So, now let's now finish up by relating to today. We spoke briefly about Russia. Let's now talk briefly to see what is happening in the news today, and then finish up India and so on. The fourth vision, he said that the remote control car will come at the end of time and so on. People will be, there will be no steering even at all. Let me quote from the news what they are saying. So in Nahum 2, even with the automobile, he said, like I said before, it's a sign of the end time. In Nahum 2, we read these verses. In Nahum 2, verse 3. And the shield of his mighty men is made red. This is God prophesying by the automobile at the end of time. And the valiant men are in scarlet. The chariots shall be with flaming torches. When you are going tonight, look at your car, look at the freeways. Amen. In the days when this prophecy was written, they were on horses and mules. Praise the Lord. But by the word of prophecy, and so forth, they are predicting God giving the call at the end from the beginning. When you are going to see the flashes and so on the highways, God speaking of the automobile, and what is the importance of these things and so on. And the fir trees shall terribly shake and all these things and so forth. And the shadow shall be with flaming torches when? In the day of his preparation. Amen? Praise the Lord. In the day near the coming of the Lord. You can say, when did the ultimate come into existence? 100 years ago. It is a small time in time's economy and so forth. So even the automobile is a sign. Now, here is what the news is saying. You've seen them in California testing these driverless cars and so on. I won't even go into that because it's all over the news. You can relate to that thing and so on. Just exactly as the vision said, without, burning you down and so on, with it. So now, let's see one more thing. Let's go into the case of the woman or the Catholic Church. Where I finish this one and so on. Now, see, the Catholic Church. Suppose the Catholic Church, look at what is happening today, even in the U.S. here, the President of the United States rolled out a red carpet for the Pope last year. And for the first time ever, a pontiff addressed the U.S. Congress, ever in the history of the United States, Roman Catholic. We're just relating vision to what is happening in our day and how the Lord will move it, just to really keep our eyes open and so forth. So that happened last year, September 24th and so forth, And watch this one. The Supreme Court of the U.S. has 9 judges. Now, 6 of them are Roman Catholics. and the remaining three are Jews. Not a single, for the first time ever, not a single Protestant is in the United States Supreme Court and so on as judges. Deny six Roman Catholics. Watch Catholicism and so on. At the end of the time, you know, the first bride working together with religion and politics and so forth. Just lay there like that and so on. What's happening in Catholic Church? You know, and now let's finalize with this about the woman. The question could be a woman president, right? Let's look today. You are all listening to the news, right? I want to quote something I see on the BBC to finish up now from the BBC. This is the secular news now talking. And you know what was said by the vision and so on. So in October 6, 2015, BBC put out an article titled, "Has America Already Had a Female President?" And I will read a clip from it. Here is the clip. It's a year, in a year's time, he said, as the U.S. presidential election nears its climax, it's possible Hillary Clinton will be the Democratic Party's candidate. This is BBC now, not me, not anybody, with a chance of becoming the first female president. But there was once another woman in the White House who came close to fulfilling this description, Eleanor Roosevelt, wife of America's wartime president, Franklin D. Roosevelt. The Washington Press. Now, this is real news. Now, listen carefully. Remember the vision, how it may be a woman president and so on. Now, the Washington Press Corps became very excited in June of 1996 when they were in the White House the first time, the Clintons and so forth, that, you know. When it emerged, watch this one, when it emerged that Hillary Clinton had been having imaginary conversations with Eleanor Roosevelt. This woman died in 1962. Communication with the dead, necromancy, even back then, I read more. Watch. Reporters portrayed those motivational chats as supernatural seances. Right in the White House, you know. So now, let me read more of it and I'm about closing now. Even her husband, meaning Bill Clinton, joked recently that his wife used to commune with this previous Democratic first lady who died in 1962. Communication, this is reality, this is real thing. This is not a fable, no, really happening and so on. Now watch, Hillary Clinton has always, this is BBC, has always been at pains to explain in her various memoirs that she was simply looking for comfort from a woman who inspired and fortified her. Did dead fortify you? Gosh. Wow. She had kept a portrait of Eleanor Roosevelt in her office in the White House, and her conversations were just as useful, quoting her now, as useful mental exercise to help analyze problems. Remember that vision said that a wicked woman. You'll be wondering if she got to your office in ordinary human sense, not knowing this thing, how can she be wicked if she's the one? We don't say she's going to be president, just talking. But given that thing that she's doing, there is no more wickedness than for a people created by God to go and be seeking counsel from the dead and calling upon the name of the Lord. What greater wickedness? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So now, so the Bible says, cruel women and so on, that, you know. Now, watch. As often as not, Hillary herself wrote, in her own words, Eleanor's spirit will respond by telling me to buck up, or at least to grow skin as thick as a rhinoceros, in her own words. Finishing up. Now, why is this wickedness? I'm going to finish up here. We are talking about the vision, 1933 and so on, and we relate to the event of our time. The theme is this, the coming of the Lord, dread nigh. Amen? Praise the Lord. Just one thing, you know, let me read something to you about how the Lord hates this kind of thing. That woman sits in the White House. She continues to do the same thing. Now, here is how the Lord condemned necromancy in Isaiah 8, the 19th verse. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? That's what the Lord said. You know? Praise God. Now, the scriptures condemn seeking counsel from the gods and so on. We can keep on going and so on. I want to just close with this one and so on. So we see the events happening in our time. We see Russia making a move, the kings of the East, China, and so on. So let us be awake. We are doing the right thing, like in this consecration, fulfilling scripture. When the bridegroom is taken away, then shall they fast. Amen. Worship, therefore, and pray always. So we don't know we'll be president. I don't know. Even when the vision says we'll be Catholic Church, and we just relate how that church has been moving, even to the core of American politics, to address the Congress for the first time ever. And this woman who is the leading Democratic candidate, if he gets there, I don't know, you know, continue this kind of thing. Is that how you will lead America? By seeking information from the dead? The land that was built upon the scriptures? So, the coming of the Lord dread nigh. Let us watch and pray. Don't forget the exhortation of the scriptures. First of all, prayers and supplications to be made for kings and those who are in authority. Having said all these things, this does not invalidate the scripture. Amen? Or free us of our obligation to pray for the nation and the leaders. Praise the Lord. Bible says, put them first, that we ourselves may lead a peaceable and quiet life. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, Lord. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We are not children of darkness, that the day should come upon unawares. We are children of light. So we thank you, Lord, for giving us understanding of the times, that we may prepare ourselves. Behold, the bridegroom cometh, and his wife has made herself ready. It's all about readiness in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. We will never forget the distinction between those who are left behind and those who went in the rapture, simply because they were not ready. Matthew 25:10. So, Lord, help us in the name of the Lord Jesus to keep our eyes open and looking for the coming of our Lord Jesus as we continue witnessing. Draw many out as by fire in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Account us worthy, Lord, as we are taught to pray that we may be accounted worthy to escape all these things and to stand before the Son of Man. Thank you, Father, for the fellowship tonight. As we go tonight, Lord, let your word be a comfort to us, Lord, that truly the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Father, in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for your time. Praise God.